Please be seated.
Father in heaven, you are the one that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Lord and King. Amen. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem was the biggest public misconception of its time. You see, the people came waving palm branches and heralding the coming of a new king. They saw the power and the wisdom Jesus had, the miracles he performed, and they thought he'd use all this to be a king to liberate their tangible world. It is not like Jesus hadn't taught about what salvation was all about and about his Father's kingdom. In their eagerness, they wanted this man who could perform miracles to be something that was of their own expectations and not of God's mission. If they had read the prophets and listened to Jesus, they would have understood and believed. Unlistening people can construct a facade around what they think God is and believe in this, instead of joining in with who God is. And this can bring bitter disappointment and even resentment towards who they think God is. When Jesus shared the Passover feast with the disciples, he says, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." If we look at Jesus in his deity, then the waiting must have been since humanity was corrupted by sin way back in the very beginning. This Passover feast was the gateway in which Jesus entered to suffer and die for us, to redeem us from sin and its penalty of death. This eagerness is God's eagerness to bring us home to himself. When Jesus breaks the bread and shares this with his disciples, he is saying he is offering his own sinless life for our corrupted lives. Jesus picks up the cup of wine and offers it to the disciples. Now, in the Jewish Passover feast, this is the third cup drunk after supper. You hear echoes of this in our thanksgiving that we say at communion, that after supper he picks up the cup. And this cup is actually called in a Jewish tradition the cup of redemption. Jesus is signifying that his blood is what it will cost to reclaim us from the clutches of sin slavery and bring us back to the Father. In partaking in the bread and the wine, we are saying we accept this unimaginable act of love. And we offer ourselves to God, submitting ourselves to do his will and follow his way, to live the life he brings us, empowered by the resurrection of Jesus and the impartation of the Holy Spirit. So God's promise of dwelling with the Israelites and they being his people was the old covenant. At the Passover feast, Jesus is reforming this covenant into a new covenant. Same but different. It is a covenant beyond the Temple Mount where God will be able to dwell with us and in us and shine through us. Whether or not we are Jew or Gentile, we literally become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, a covenant is a promise, agreed upon by two parties. It requires accountability from both parties. With Jesus, his covenant is sealed with his blood. In our Eucharist, which means in Greek thanksgiving, it is not a means for salvation, but a recognition of God's outreach to us, to restore us to himself, believing in what Jesus Christ has achieved for us is the way of our salvation. Therefore, participating in the communion is the opportunity to be the second party in the covenant, in which we agree to live by its terms. For the covenant to work, meaning for our salvation to be real, it must be twofold. His life for us, our lives for him. Except for us, what dies is our old sinful nature. The Israelites participated in the Passover as an act of remembrance and thanksgiving for their deliverance from Egypt and the new life God had brought them into. So we participate in the communion, reminding ourselves with faith that we have been set free from the slavery of sin and are now reconciled to God. We eat the bread and drink the fruit of the vine in thankfulness that his blood has sealed us into the life of obedience to God. In fact, we can say we have been purchased from the cruel master of sin by Christ's blood. We are now owned by the most loving master who has made us his heirs with Christ. We are indeed indebted to God who purchased us with his life. And so we surrender our lives to him. Jesus did not enter into Jerusalem to be a normal king to rule over men. He did not come to put an end to social injustice, political tyranny, or even religious hypocrisy. He didn't come to facilitate equal rights or even eradicate poverty. He came to be the king of our souls, to enthrone himself in our hearts and to lead us with his grace and mercy so that we could be his subjects, displaying out there to the world his nature, showing others that there is a new kingdom of freedom and peace which we are all called to belong to. The crowd honoured Jesus, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." But when Jesus did not meet the crowd's expectations, they turned against him and became an angry mob, shouting, "Crucify him." In an instant, they wanted him dead, no matter how brutal. Such is the fickleness of humanity. As humans, we are logical. Our thinking is 1 + 2 = 3. Apply the solution, get the expected outcome. But not so with God. God's maths is this: 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. The Trinity. Did you get that? So 3 - 1, Jesus dying on the cross, plus 1, his resurrection, and the number of those who believe equals eternity to the power of 3. You get that? Isaiah said, "Our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and our ways are not God's ways." A whole world through Jesus would cater to the world. A whole world thought Jesus would cater to their worldly needs and wants. Jesus came as a king for sure. A powerful one at that, He came to promote his kingdom and establish a community that understood what living in this kingdom is all about, subjecting themselves to his rule. Those who live under this king know they belong to the most secure kingdom that has not bound it is not bound in this world's conditions, yet by grace welcomes us into a knowledge of love so unfathomable we can only say, Hosanna, God saves. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I'll pray. Dear Lord Jesus, your perfect love is our salvation. You come as a light unto the world. Help us to see clearly who you are, what your salvation truly means. We thank you for all you have done for us, and we truly say, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us. Amen.